fully cooperative and supportive and acknowledge what this team is doing.
President Biden speaking on the FEMA response to Hurricane Helene, and now we wait for Hurricane Milton to strike Tampa Bay and the west coast of Florida right there in the Gulf, and we pray for them as they're bracing themselves for what they're saying is a storm of a century. And we watch, there's a lot of politics that surrounds this, but first and foremost, we want to think about those people who are in the midst of this storm and pray for their safety and their security. Very excited to bring our friend Harris Faulkner back on the show. She is a best-selling author. Her book, Faith Still Moves Mountains, one you should absolutely check out. And of course, she is host of The Faulkner Focus and Outnumber on Fox News. Harris, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here.
Annie, it's such a pleasure. And there's so much going on in the world. I really, really just grateful for the opportunity to specifically talk with you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I've heard you on Fox News and Outnumbered and also on the Faulkner Focus talk about your experience of living in North Carolina. You have a personal connection to there. What can you tell us about your personal connection to that area and what those people are experiencing right now in the wake of Hurricane Helene?
I covered hurricanes in the early 90s. It was my first television market, and I was really young and just getting started. The people are amazing all over that state. My market was a tiny little market, Greenville, Washington, New Bern. It was like a little tri-city market in eastern North Carolina. And, you know, this week and a little bit last week, I've been spending time on radio with hosts in North Carolina and learning about the struggles there and the forgotten people of the Appalachia. We should be embarrassed as a country that we have leadership in the White House who went, it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow, before even acknowledging that they needed to get ahead of a storm. Like what we saw today was a blank storm of misinformation from them. They want to get angry at the media, angry at citizens who ask, why weren't you there for North Carolina, parts of Tennessee, Virginia, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia. Florida can take care of itself most of the time. DeSantis was sending his resources to the Carolinas. He planned so well before Helene. But today what we saw was a dog and pony show. And, yeah, I don't want to leave any circus animals out because it was a real circus.
Yeah.
And just to hear a sitting president use part of his time saying how he's going to do everything and how he's directing FEMA, that's his job, first of all. He went after Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. He went after journalists. He went after everybody. The last few weeks, there's been a reckless, irresponsible, and relentless promotion of disinformation. Blah, blah, blah. You know what we were doing all over? We were asking questions about where were they. 4 days it took us before we could even see them getting, you know, FEMA reports out there. Biden finally shows up in a storm state. And God bless him. He's an 80-some-year-old man. He didn't have the energy to do that.
Yeah.
He shows up in Florida. And where is DeSantis? 300 miles away where his people needed help in that state. Like, at least coordinate your schedules. But he wouldn't have been able to go into that storm zone with DeSantis anyway. And then today, we finally see the two of them. And here's what it read. I'm sure you got the same press release that went all over the media from the White House. President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris receive a briefing on the administration's life-saving preparations for Hurricane Milton. You'll get the latest updates on the forecast and impacts for the state of Florida. And then they'll get their update. We took it live. And do you know that they weren't even in the same room?
Yeah.
And all of the officials and Annie who were on that virtual, whatever it was, Biden was at the White House, Kamala Harris was virtual, and then everybody else was virtual, FEMA, all these people, Deanna Criswell, the director of FEMA, she couldn't go down to Florida ahead of the storm? Like, you want to change the optics, but you don't want to leave your offices? This is really pathetic, but it looked odd to get a FEMA briefing across all those officials and not have one person either where Helene hit or Milton's coming. It's like they want to do the least.
Yeah. I point to what you were talking about as well. President Biden took the opportunity before he turned it over to Vice President Kamala Harris to disparage Donald Trump and to talk about misinformation and disinformation, which is their most valuable asset because they can throw it out there anytime. They don't ever have to answer for it, as we saw with the interaction between Corinne Jean-Pierre, and she didn't want to answer a question of Peter Ducey, so she just labels it misinformation and disinformation. I mean, even Joe Biden has acknowledged that there was a slow start to FEMA. There are still people struggling mightily in North Carolina, and we've got another storm coming. It almost felt to me like they needed to get out ahead of the misinformation and disinformation, thus the very public press conference or briefing that we got to see today.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who are still missing. There was a woman one of our reporters interviewed who was brought to tears when she was finally able to get some fresh water. Look, I'm not going to say it's not difficult terrain. I would never say that. But we have a military that goes into foreign countries and builds from the ground up in war zones. We can do more and help more people with our resources and our know-how and our expertises than anybody else on the planet, except for maybe Israel taking the war on two fronts to terrorists that we ought to be killing as well because they're hitting our people.
Yeah.
But except for that, I mean, I think we can do anything that we put our minds and might to. Yet days into the storm, a week into the storm, 11 days into the storm, reports of people still who have not received any help from FEMA. And now we've got a big storm. And by the way, I dug this up just for you. I looked up exactly what is the truth over the $7 billion that FEMA actually has left over from old disasters, which could be applied to Helene and Milton. And here's the truth. The Department of Homeland Security Inspector General report from August says FEMA has $7 billion, which could be redirected to help recoveries from hurricanes Milton and Helene. That's in theory, though, because FEMA itself disputes all of the money is recoverable, signaling only about $4.5 billion is not obligated or could potentially be reprogrammed. Well, okay, that's $4.5 billion you're not using right now.
Yes.
Yeah. So then we're told that Congress would have to vote to reprogram the older money. Well, wouldn't you like to know which Democrat would vote no?
I would love to know.
Wouldn't you love to know who wants to protect the Biden-Harris administration and now the Harris-Walz ticket enough to vote no so that they don't have to admit that they let it run out of money in hurricane season? Like, this is child's play in terms of debating these topics, which is why she goes on nighttime, let me drink a beer, and just these hollow soul, empty-hearted types of appearances on the heels of more crisis for our American citizens. Kamala Harris is out there, you know, yafooing, still can't answer the question, not any time across three shows yesterday, one of them right across from Fox at the Howard Stern show, could not answer what would you do differently than Biden from the last 3.5 years, since most Americans are not happy with where the country's headed.
Is it
crickets from this woman?
Do you feel as though does she just not have an answer to it, or is the answer too negative for the voters to hear, so she's unwilling to give it?
You know, normally I would say two things can be true. But in this instance, that's not the case, because it's not that she doesn't have an answer and it's negative. It's that it's negative and we're 28 days away from an election. She's got the answer because she's told us she has the answer. She said, Annie, she's been in every room with Joe Biden, making every single decision that is effectively most important in Americans' lives. She said it. He said it. He said the words, you know, when he assigned her the border position, and I don't call her the border czar because when Biden assigned it, he didn't say that.
Right.
He said she was in charge of it. He didn't call her a name. He gave her the responsibility. And then he said, no one better in my administration is available for this position. I'm giving it to you. It's on YouTube. You can watch it. And then he says, and when people ask you for things in the effort of dealing with the border issues, you tell them that your word is like my word. We're the same. That means they're the same. So when stuff's going downhill and she can't say, yeah, I wasn't really part of that, It's because she was.
She's an absolutely terrible candidate. It's really amazing that the Democrat Party anointed her, because I guess they assumed that Joe Biden was.
What do you think they did?
You don't? Well, I mean,
like, why do you?
Well, why do I think they did?
They had other options, right? I mean, they had other Democrats.
The only thing I think about that particular issue is some people suggest that maybe in Joe Biden's retraction from the race that he threw Kamala Harris's name out there and it was too hard to retract from that, which is an interesting thought because we are scratching our heads as to why that might have, like, why Kamala. I mean, a lot of people will say that she's a person of color and that Joe Biden said he wanted to have a woman of color to do that.
So we don't, I mean, you don't have to, you don't have to like feel bad about bringing it up because it's part of her resume, apparently. And by the way, as a black female who's been around for a number of years and I've seen a lot of change, my father went to war when this country was in the middle of its civil rights struggle and not able to drink out of the same water fountains. And those signs were still up, whites and coloreds only. But he said he believed in this country so much because we have the most potential of any other on the planet. That's how I was raised. So, I mean, I think she and I are probably about the same age. I don't lead with that. I'm going to be on the Annie Frye show today. Annie Frye's having me on, and I'm black. Like, that's not how I lead. And I'm an American before I'm anything. And yes, I'm a black woman.
Yes.
But that doesn't go on my resume. I don't understand why. So, yeah, feel free to bring that up because she trades on it and to the point where sometimes it's criticized in black communities for suddenly popping up and they haven't seen her in certain areas before. But I do want to address this issue of why her from a money standpoint. She was part of a ticket that was established and had raised over $100 million. They wanted that money in those coffers. They did not want to have to put anybody else on that ticket. But she didn't have to be atop the ticket.
True.
Like, they could have put somebody, but maybe she tapped her toe. You know, like, you're going to put me on the ticket so you can get the money, but I have to be. I mean, I don't know. I don't think we'll ever really know because it would take Biden to tell it.
Right. And, you know, I keep saying there's always somebody who wants to make that bank on that book that they write. And I was thinking maybe it would come out in October and I'm waiting for that book. Haven't seen it yet. I want to tap in.
So, Annie, when it comes out, can you and I agree to have tea?
Yes.
And popcorn?
I will meet you.
And we'll just, like,
I will meet you anywhere.
The tea and eat the corn.
That's exactly right. Before we let you go, and I want to be respectful of your time, you have a relationship with Donald Trump. You were interviewing him right before he was shot at the initial Butler rally. I'm wondering about Donald Trump 2024, if you see any evolution in who he has been as you've covered him as a candidate in 2016, the president, a candidate in 2020, and who this man is that is asking for the votes of Republicans, independents, and anybody who is sick of the last 4 years and wants a change. Is he an evolved or a changed man at all?
You know, I think it's such an important question because the 2016 Donald Trump is not the 2024 Donald Trump. I think when you lose in between those two elections, it changes you. And one thing that I noticed right away, 4 hours before he was in Butler on the ground, because I was in Mar-a-Lago, he's got a really fast plane, so he gets there really fast. And then I saw him again at the RNC, and I thought, it was only, 38 hours later or something like that after he'd been shot. I noticed a difference in him when we sat down and he said, I want to fix New York, Harris. I'm like, you want to fix New York? You know what? Maybe you should play that entire interview that got sort of put out in pieces, Annie. You're giving me an idea because we had to do it that way because of the coverage.
Yes.
Of the assassination attempt. So what he said was, I want to work with Democrats in blue cities. It's why he's willing to look at SALT again. He said people are crushed under the weight of having to pay for all these illegal immigrants in their towns. And these blue cities are just really hurting with crime. He said, I want to sit with them and I want us to work together to build the places that are still identified basically as the places that people think of when they think of our country, the big cities.
Amen.
Yes. And I've interviewed him many times. I've never heard him directly say, I'm going to do that. So I'm just reading right now, because this is just crossing. So you're in my late day after my show's news grab. Mm-hmm. So you're like part of my news gathering now. So I'm taking you all inside. It looks like the last week of October, he will be in New York at Madison Square Garden. Whew. I mean, you are taking some steak off the plates of Democrats now.
Yes, certainly. And so many of those down ballot races matter so big that even if he doesn't win New York, if he makes a dent in New York, that will help his ability to govern. And I tell you this as somebody, I work in St. Louis, Missouri. I live in Illinois, a state where 60% plus of the population comes from Chicago. Beautiful, beautiful cities being wrecked by blue policies. And hearing a presidential candidate talk about not just letting them go and leaving them to what they've become, it's very encouraging.
Yeah, I would say the one other thing that I have noticed is he brings up faith a lot more. And I know he fights with that a little bit because he'll say, well, you know, I think he doesn't want people to think that he's not willing to do what he said on that stage. This is just my humble opinion from seeing him. I've heard him talk more and more about faith. And it is, to me, a continuation of the Lord sparing anyone's life. You get up, you fight, and then you get introspective. And I haven't sat down with him since then, but I will. And one of the questions I do want to know is, has that brought you forth in terms of how you view faith? Because he's got to get that evangelical vote. I did an evangelical roundtable on my show this morning on the Faulkner Focus. And it was interesting. Millions of Christians are thinking of sitting this one out. And it's, what do they want to hear? What are they not hearing from either of these candidates? It was really telling to hear that. And I see him picking up on that conversation organically on his own. So let's see if that's any sort of evolutionary point in terms of getting that vote. I don't know. I don't think you know. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
But I'll cover it.
I would love to watch that. I've been saying that the main opponent that Donald Trump has in this election is cracking the caricature, the villain that has been lied about, the American people have been deceived about for so many years about who he is. And your interviews specifically do a wonderful job of showing the human who is a flawed man. He never claims not to be, but I would look forward to seeing that. Harris Faulkner.
Thank you for the high compliment.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Popcorn and tea, you and me, when Biden's book comes out.
And we're going to be there. I can't wait to do it. Harris Faulkner, thank you. Such a pleasure to have you on the show.
God bless you, Annie. Thank you.
You as well. God bless you. Harris Faulkner, author of the number one New York Times bestselling book, Faith Still Moves Mountains. I highly encourage you to read her book. She has multiple books that are on faith and on prayer. And I read her, I don't know if it's Faith Still Moves Mountains, but she has one that's out about prayer as well. And they're anecdotes of stories that she's been involved in and how she has seen prayer have such an impact on news stories that you don't always get that angle of it. She puts it in a book, and she's an amazing writer. She reads the audiobook, which is how I usually consume people's books. And I incredibly endorse it, think it's a wonderful way to spend some of your spare time. And so nice to have her on. She is exceedingly kind. Great to have Harris Faulkner on with us. And now, to top it off, let's get Wiggins back in the studio when we come back. More on the Annie Fry Show when we return. You can comment on some of the things that Harris Faulkner just commented on. Our YouTube live chat poll for today: would a Kamala Harris administration be any different than a Joe Biden administration? Yes or no? Annie Fry YouTube channel to vote. You can leave a comment if you so choose. We'll be back right after this. Just feel like we don't have the means.